In the library of my mind, I descend the stairs to my subconscious, sink into an old leather armchair, and send a flurry of dust into a shaft of winter sunlight, which is pouring in from a high window. Looking around, I see shelf after shelf of memory books marked Christmas. I take down the oldest volume and open it carefully, curious to see what is inside. There's a young girl at a Christmas fair, eking out her pocket money to buy gifts for her family. On the next page, the same girl is huddled at the desk in her bedroom, hand-stamping Christmas cards. Then she's opening the first door in her advent calendar, a hint of Christmas magic encircling her. The old book holds many more images. In one, the girl and her brothers are opening their stockings excitedly, reaching in to find a bag of chocolate coins, a clementine, and a pound tucked into the toe. In another, she's at the door of the front room, hand on the ceramic doorknob, exchanging excited glances with those brothers, silently asking, "Has he been?" Interestingly, in all of the pictures, in all of the memory books marked Christmas, only a handful are directly related to what was actually inside wrapped presents on Christmas Day. Instead, it's the anticipation of those gifts that features most prominently, and the fun and joy of giving and receiving. Welcome to episode 3 of the Calm Christmas Podcast with me, Beth Kempton. Today we are talking all about mindful gifting. It's almost impossible to think about Christmas without thinking about presents. And I know that for some people it is still early, but starting to think about mindful gifting now can save us stress, save us money, help us give things that will genuinely bring joy, and also give us time to enjoy the process of dreaming up ideas, making or buying presents, wrapping them, and delivering them in good time. The other night, a wild storm whipped around our house, cackling as it rattled the window panes and whooshed down the chimney. In the deepest part of the night, when even the moon had taken cover, a small silhouette appeared at the bedroom door, in the shape of a girl carrying her favourite cuddly dog. "I don't like it," our eldest daughter said. "It's too loud." "Shall I come in?" I asked. She nodded, and we went back to her room, where the storm was even louder. We snuggled under her duvet and listened as the rain battered the window and the gale whistled down the road. "I haven't heard a storm this wild for a long time," I said. "In fact, I think the last time was around midnight on Christmas Eve, 9 years ago." She loosened her grip on the dog and looked up at me, eyes wide, as I told her for the 100th time of the way she arrived into the world. "You know, thanks to you, I really love storms now, because they remind me of that night. Best Christmas ever. Best gift ever." "I think I could like them too," she said, smiling, and drifted off to sleep. I lay there in the dark, thinking about the real gifts of this life, and how I could translate the essence of them into the presents that I buy and make this year. The gift-giving aspect of the holidays is a time to share any abundance that we've been blessed with and to say thank you to those that we're grateful to, often in the form of something that we can wrap with care and offer with love. I invite you to take a moment to think back to Christmas when you were a child. Which gift stands out most in your memory, and why do you think that is? For me, one of those I remember most clearly was a calligraphy set, before calligraphy was all trendy and cool, with a box of nibs and tiny pots of coloured inks, each wrapped separately and all put in a beautiful box tied with a ribbon. We used to get presents from Father Christmas and then a couple of special ones labelled as being from my parents. There was joy in having many things to open, and also in knowing that they'd noticed my interest in art and words. I hadn't asked for a calligraphy set. I didn't even know what it was until I opened that gift, but it was a delight. I also remember the time that we were sitting around the Christmas tree, happily unwrapping gifts, when my dad asked my older brother to go and get him a beer from the back room. It was a bit odd because he didn't drink beer in the mornings, but it was Christmas Day, so hey. And then the next thing we knew, there was a squeal of joy and my brother was standing in the laundry room grinning, holding onto a brand new bike. Something about presence appearing in strange places and having to discover them always brings some special kind of magic. I asked Mr. K, my husband, about his memory of presents, and the one that stood out to him the most was when his family, who moved around a lot, found themselves in a hotel room in Hong Kong on Christmas Day, and Santa somehow managed to find a way into the hotel room and delivered a Scare-Electric set, which him and his brothers constructed all over the floor and around their suitcases and had a wonderful time playing with. Anyway, as I said, although there are a couple of things that I do really clearly remember, most of the details about what I received over the years are less clear than the anticipation before the big day. The excitement of beautifully wrapped presents, the not knowing what was in them, and the fun of discovering gifts in strange places or being sent on a treasure hunt to find something in the shed, perhaps, or the feeling of opening something that was just right at that moment in my life. And it turns out not much has changed since I was little, although these days finding the right gifts for other people and wrapping them carefully and often turning them to a treasure hunt brings me easily as much joy as getting presents myself. How about you, I wonder? Let's think about mindful gifting from the point of view of our own well-being. According to the Money and Mental Health Policy Institute, overspending can be an issue all year round, but can be particularly challenging to manage at this time of year. With all the pressure and stresses, people with mental health problems can be more prone to crisis spending, which the Policy Institute defines as spending behaviour which happens during a period of poor mental health, is motivated by emotional or psychological rather than material need, and causes some form of financial detriment. And they say that research shows festive stresses can trigger a mood swing, making it harder to control spending, and that anyone with depression can be prone to comfort spending or spending on others to boost their low mood. It's so easy to miss what's going on with our finances at this time of year, and apparently research shows that mental health problems can make organising, planning and keeping track of finances that much harder. So if you have a sense that that's been happening to you, well, it happens to an awful lot of people. That's why lots of charities advertise at this time of year to support mental health issues as well as financial challenges. And you can find links in the show notes if you feel like you could do with that kind of support this year. It's also one reason why I've created the free Calm Christmas Planner, which you can download at dowhatyouloveforlife.com this year. Rather than have to deal with debt come January, it can be more effective and a lot more joyful to take time now to think carefully about who you really want to give gifts to this year, what you can afford, and how to offer things that will be really appreciated. According to a recent article in The Guardian, us Britons are expected to buy fewer and cheaper items this Christmas, and especially buy them online, as the cost of living crisis forces many of us to rein in our celebrations. They say with budgets tight, online spending for Black Friday on the 24th of November is expected to be down by 2% year on year, despite high levels of inflation. It's predicted an 11% dive in sales of gifts as families add fewer treats for friends, neighbours and children than in previous years. So what does this mean? Well, if you're feeling the pinch, you know that others are feeling it too. But I always find when I read articles like this that they're always written with a sense of doom and gloom from the perspective of the retail industry. But from the perspective of us, the people trying to open our wallets to buy things, and also from the environment, fewer but more thoughtful presents given only to those that we really want to give them to might be a really good thing. These days, with so much access to credit, if we want something, we can just buy it regardless of whether or not we can actually afford it. We can have it in our hands almost immediately. And that's convenient, and it's given us far more choice than our parents and grandparents ever had. But it's also erased the thrill of delayed gratification and made it surprisingly difficult to choose gifts that people really want or need when they can just buy whatever they want, whether or not they can afford it, anytime they want to. A survey commissioned by Braun a while back found that 6 out of every 10 presents given to a sample of 2,000 adults were unwanted. 6 out of every 10. What a waste. Given that so many of us are stretching our finances and stressing about buying these unwelcome presents, it seems such a waste of money as well as being so bad for the environment, of course, all that waste. and a wholly unnecessary burden on our collective mental health. It's absolutely crazy. And yet we keep on spending and giving and the landfills keep on growing. Now, a major part of the reason for this is probably the social contract that exists in all gifting cultures. You buy for me, I have to buy for you, and vice versa. It's unspoken in many cases, and yet the feeling of obligation is there. Every year, I see people filling bags and baskets with special offers in the run-up to Christmas, and I always hear someone muttering, oh, that'll do for so-and-so. But really, if you choose any old bargain as a gift for someone, I think that really begs the question whether you should be buying them a Christmas present at all. I think sometimes the best thing that you can give someone is permission not to buy anything for you this year, which releases you from the social contract of buying anything for them. For so many people, this would just be a relief. So maybe have a think this year and see who would really appreciate being released from that contract of having to get something for you. Now is a really good time to have a conversation about this. Who do you really want to give a gift to this year? And who do you feel obliged to give a gift to but don't really want to or can't afford to? And is there another way of getting around that? Could you pool funds with others to buy a shared gift? Could you set a limit on what individual presents can cost? And sometimes that can really spark some creativity. Or could you have an open conversation now to agree to not give gifts to each other this year and maybe instead share some time or just send beautiful cards or whatever it is that you want to do? Just last week, I had a chat with my two brothers to talk about presents this year, and we decided that we will only get gifts for the children. So for example, from my point of view, for my nephews and nieces. And as each of us has two children, we will put the six names in a hat and pull out two each and then buy decent presents within an agreed budget for each child. That way, when we get together, each child has one fab present rather than a bunch of cheap presents that they don't really want or need. And then the grown-ups have saved themselves a chunk of cash and can just enjoy sharing time together and watching the children opening their gifts. At school, all the parents tend to club together to buy one meaningful present for each class teacher rather than flooding them with 30 cheap presents that they don't actually want or need. And we've done that at our children's school for quite a long time now, and it's really great for everyone. I love giving and receiving presents as much as anyone, but since being totally overwhelmed by a flood of presents when my eldest daughter's first birthday coincided with her first Christmas, I've always made a point of not doing them to excess. I actually felt physically sick on her first birthday when we spent all day opening presents and they just seemed to still come, and it was just not right. A one-year-old didn't need all that stuff. And so we've been really conscious about presents since that time. And now we open them slowly on Christmas Day to spread out the joy. In the run-up to Christmas, I love watching my children sitting up at the counter while I cook dinner, highlighting things that they love the look of in an old-school toy store catalogue, knowing that they can circle as many things as they like, but it doesn't necessarily mean that those things will turn up on Christmas Day. We love making a thing of writing Christmas lists. We usually go to a cafe by the sea, get a hot chocolate and get stuck in writing. And then we clear out old toys and clothes to donate and think about who might be lonely in our community and how we can help reach out to them with a card, perhaps put some fairy lights in our trees to make our home look more inviting, donate food to the food bank, things like that. So when my children are thinking about what they want, also kind of balance that with something that is for somebody else. They write cards to all their friends, but they don't exchange gifts. And that is a rule that no one has ever actually stated, but has kind of been a thing since they were tiny, and I hope stays that way for a long time. And then in terms of each other, each year, my daughters decide what of their own things they're going to give to the other sister. And they wrap it up. And it's really, really thoughtful. You know, they might give a favourite teddy or something like that. It's not perfect. We still end up with too much plastic and sometimes toys and games that never get used. But it's not as bad as that first year. And over the past decade, I think it must have saved Father Christmas's elves a ton of work. If you're worried about money, you can call the National Debt Line here in the UK on 0808 808 4000. And here's some other tips shared on the BBC. what to do if you can't pay your debts. First of all, the advice is to talk to someone. You're not alone and there's help available. And a trained debt advisor can talk you through the options. There are some links in the show notes to organisations you can get in touch with about that. Advice is also to take control. Citizens Advice suggests that you work out how much you owe, who to, which debts are the most urgent and how much you need to pay each month, and that you ask for a payment plan. Energy suppliers, for example, must give you a chance to clear your debt before taking any action to recover the money. Now, I'm not a financial expert. I'm simply sharing some useful information. There are some links in the show notes for organisations that might be able to support you. Okay. Now, let me share a few tips on mindful gifting from my book, Calm Christmas and a Happy New Year, to get you thinking about what you really want to do about gifts this year. Take a moment to think about each friend or relative that you really want to present with a gift this year. Ask what they need right now. Maybe discuss it with them well ahead of time so they've forgotten by the time Christmas comes round. It will be fun and they'll be touched by your thoughtfulness. You can pick their brains with questions like, what's your secret dream? Or what's holding you back? Or what are you curious about? And that can help you choose a meaningful gift that supports something that they're really interested in. And your present will remind them that you really listened to what they had to say. Here are my three gifting guideposts to help you decide what, if anything, you're going to give to someone. So the first question, super simple, is it mindful? And mindful means, is it appropriate given the current context of their life? Is it appropriate given their view of the environment and the world? Is it appropriate given their thoughts about parenting, perhaps, or something related to what you're buying? Is it in line with their attitude to gifts in general? Is it in line with what you can afford? And is it in line with what they can afford to give in return so that you don't end up skewing that social gifting contract or make them feel obliged to buy you something that they can't really afford? So is it mindful? And then secondly, is it meaningful? And these questions can help you choose a really meaningful gift. Is it linked to something that they care about rather than something that you care about? And this is a really big one for me. I do have a tendency to think of gifts that I think would be really great because I'd love to have them. But the point is whether they're really great for the person you're giving them to. It sounds really obvious, but I am definitely guilty of having done that quite a few times. Does it strengthen the bond between the two of you? Does it recognise their gifts and talents and encourage them? Does it represent some aspect of your relationship, perhaps? Or does it enhance their life in some way? Does it offer shared time with someone they care about, maybe you? And is it obviously personal to them, not just any old thing? So is it mindful? Is it meaningful? And then thirdly, is it memorable? Now, together with my eldest daughter this year, I've created for you a mindful gift idea generating machine, which is basically a really fun thing that you can find inside the free Calm Christmas Planner to help you generate mindful gift ideas for whoever you want to get them for this year. You can download that planner for free at dowhatyouloveforlife.com or find a direct link to the planner in the show notes. It comes with more than 50 ready-made mindful gift ideas, so go and help yourself. And hopefully that's going to help you come up with some great ideas this year. And if in doubt, a book is always a good idea. But then, of course, I'm biased because I do love books. Also, stay tuned for two lovely recipes, which will make great gifts for people who like to eat. Okay. Food gifts are always so lovely, especially ones that you have made yourself. And of course, the great thing is you can make a whole batch of them at once. Which can save you time, save you money, and delight all sorts of people in one go. An alternative idea is to give someone an advent calendar for an early Christmas present. This also works really well, of course, for people who've got birthdays in late November or right at the beginning of December. And you could fill an advent calendar with anything you like. One of our listeners suggested filling it with groceries for someone who's really struggling for money this year, which I just think is such a lovely idea, especially if they're ever so slightly luxurious, things you might not necessarily buy for yourself. Special treats, we're making one for someone who's got a dog, and my littlest has insisted that the dog get some dog treats in several of the advent calendar pockets this year, which I think is really nice. You can pop in poems, you can pop in notes, anything to make someone feel cared for throughout the month of December. Now, in her stunning book, Winter Celebrations, Aruna Kunarai has a lovely idea for an advent calendar made with clay. clay numbers or wooden numbers or cardboard numbers work as well. And what you do is very simple but lovely. You put a set of tiny presents in little paper bags, anything you like, punch holes in the bags, tie a string through them, and then thread on a number, clay number, wooden or cardboard number. And then you string them up with baker's twine. And that's it. How lovely and original. And you, of course, you could decorate the bags however you wanted to. Alternatively, you could cover a small tree with those hung individually. I think that would be really nice. Aruna reminds us that making decorations and gifts for the holidays allows you to express yourself in ways that store-bought items cannot. There is just something about handmade items. The materials and qualities mean anything you make will be uniquely you. It's a really lovely book, Winter Celebrations. I highly recommend it. And taking on making everything can be a lot. It can add its own kind of stress this time of year. But making something, or make even, you know, the tags for presents, for example, can be really nice. One year, we took a lot of photographs of our children, got them printed out really small and turned them into present tags. And I actually found at my mum's house an album where she had stuck in every single thing that my children had ever sent her, including all of the gift tags where they'd written grandma on them and all of the ones that had their photographs on. So it can be a really nice thing to do and a very personal touch. I'd love to hear all about your gift ideas and your wrapping ideas. Do come and find me on Instagram at Beth Kempton and share with our community. For tips on wrapping, you might enjoy digging into the archives of the Calm Christmas podcast for season 2, episode 4. It's called Love, and there are some lovely tips for wrapping in that episode. When I was gathering books to inspire me for this season of the podcast, I came across a book that my mum had bought me when I was in my early teens. Well, I think she bought it for herself, but I snaffled it probably. I think it's out of print now, but it's called Country Christmas. It's a really beautiful hardback book. And it's full of atmospheric pictures of Christmas in the countryside. And reading through the wrapping section the other day, I was reminded of many of the simple ways that we used to decorate Christmas presents when I was a child. So I thought I'd share this snippet with you. First impressions count, and a present wrapped lovingly and with special care adds immeasurably to the pleasure and anticipation felt by the recipient. Wrappings do not have to be lavish or glossy, but attention to small details and an overall pretty effect makes opening a gift a treat in itself. Straightforward materials such as brown parcel wrapping paper and old-fashioned string can be transformed with a brush of paint or a simple black print and a blob or two of real sealing wax. If children want to help, arrange for them to do some simple printing or sponging on rolls of inexpensive cream lining paper or parcel paper. In one short session, they will decorate enough paper to wrap all the presents that you have waiting. Choose a simple idea for the maximum effect, such as stenciling through a paper doily or cutting a single star or tree shape in a potato or piece of pumpkin, and use this as a block printer. You can buy small wooden blocks with slightly more complicated designs to do border patterns or neater rows of motifs. You can recycle old glass jars, bottles, and containers to hold gifts using gold foils and paints. Here, presents are wrapped in gold sponge paper and trimmed with gold foil, and a port bottle is embellished with a trail of leaves and a handwritten label. Just lovely. And actually, while I was reading that, I just suddenly realised that, yeah, you can take a really cheap, big ball of just normal parcel string and paint it whatever colour you want and add that as a detail on your wrapped presents. That's brilliant. I might try that this year. Anyway, what about you? I love these words in Sunrise Gratitude by Emily Silver. It has daily entries, and this is the one for November the 22nd. There is a soft beauty in receiving and accepting. Sometimes it can be difficult to receive gifts, praise, or help. When we resist and don't accept, we deny ourselves the energy of worthiness. Life is a balance of giving and receiving. When we give, it feels incredible. The same can be said of accepting if we allow ourselves to soften into it. Practice receiving today. When someone compliments you or extends assistance, simply say thank you. Notice how it feels to receive and not resist. Let's think for a moment about what you would really like to receive this winter, this Christmas, this holiday season. Here's your writing prompt for this week. Journal what you would most like for Christmas this year. And before you get writing, here's some inspiration I just love in the form of a poem by Noor Unnahar in New Names for Lost Things. It's called List of Everything I Want. Perhaps you listen to it and then you could pause the podcast and just write your own list of everything that you want and then come back. The sun, a glass house incapable of breaking, the ashes of a name, some remains of the day, a love wrapped in ancient silver, a sky never turning crimson, a whirling heart, a city naive enough to remember me. If you want to go further, be inspired by the idea of dreaming of a gift and perhaps turn that into a fictional short story or a poem this week. Have fun with your writing. It's time for our nature corner. At this time of year, be on the lookout for starlings. I wonder if you have starlings where in the world you are. When we lived in Brighton, which is in the southeast of England, below London and on the coast, the murmurations of starlings over Brighton Marina at dusk at this time of year were absolutely amazing. If you don't live somewhere where they have starling murmurations, then go on YouTube and have a look. It's just mesmerising. Apparently, each bird tracks the movement of the birds that are closest to it, so there's a slight time lag as the changes in direction move through the group of starlings like a ripple, which gives the effect of a shoal of fish in the sky, or sometimes, I think, like a heartbeat. I always wonder where the movement begins and where it ends. So it's time for our Christmas traditions, and I know that this is a favourite part of the podcast for some of you. I'm sharing a whole load more that I have received through lovely listeners via Instagram. If you want to tell me about any of your traditions, you can find me on Instagram at Beth Kempton. Please do leave a comment on any of the Christmassy posts. Let's start with this from at vicky.dale.3 on Instagram in Scotland. Vicky says, my favourite tradition is our Advent tree, from which we hang 24 labels, and on each label is a Christmas activity for us to do, which might be to write our letters to Santa, to walk down our street, look at everyone's trees in their windows, maybe to have an outdoor tea beside a fire with marshmallows, take a walk in nature to collect pieces for our wreath on the front door. Nothing too expensive or difficult to achieve to avoid Christmas stress, of course. And to help make the lead up more of a pleasure. I think this is a great idea. One thing a day, one lovely thing, and turning it into feeling like a treat by having it hung on the tree in the form of a label. Every single action is a wee tradition, she says, in itself for our family. But without the Advent tree, we wouldn't have the delight of the anticipation of what we're going to do together next. And I just love that. Well, I love that too, Vicky. Thank you for sharing. Now here in Hartford, here in the UK, we have at Joey Tamborello, who says, a tradition we have always had is to give to people who need items at Christmas. We donate toiletries to the homeless. And most recently, since my dad passed away, we've started to buy toys throughout the year, which we then take to the children's ward in the hospital that he passed away in for them to gift to the kids at Christmas. We call it Tamborello Toys after him. Oh, I just love that so much, Joey. What a beautiful tribute and a way to say thank you. And it just reminded me of something I've not thought about for a long time. Obviously, my oldest daughter was born on Christmas Day. And on her first birthday, that day that we were just drowning in presents and feeling incredibly overwhelmed by all of it, we actually took a whole stack of boxes of mince pies to the delivery ward in the hospital where she'd been born a year before. For all the nurses and doctors, but of course not a single one who had been there when she was born was working because they on shift and the people who worked last Christmas weren't working that Christmas. But it was such a lovely thing to do. And that idea of collecting toys throughout the year and then taking them all to the children's ward what a lovely moment to think about somebody who is loved and missed, and to say thank you to the people who supported you. Wonderful. Okay, and then we have at Susie Heikelt on Instagram. When we were kids, the living room door would be locked a few days before Christmas. Very exciting for us children. On Christmas Eve, we would play in our room or in the kitchen until we heard a little bell from the living room. When we got there, the door would be open and my dad had lit all the candles on the big tree. This is my childhood Christmas memory from Austria. Wow, that is a beauty. And interestingly, nothing about presents. I'm sure the presents contributed, but it's the candles and most importantly, the anticipation that's remembered there. Wonderful. Jackie Milbank at Write My Way on Instagram said, my best friend and I have gone late night Christmas shopping on a Thursday for the last 30 years, with the exception of 2002, when my son was born by C-section early in December, and of course during COVID. We've always done this about 2 weeks before Christmas and always go for a waffle afterwards just before the shops close. In truth, as the years have gone on, the night has become more about the waffle than it has about the shopping. And what's also funny, every year without fail, we both peruse the menu and comment on all the lovely toppings, the specials, how good they sound. And I might try this, I might try that, even though we know that we're both going to have exactly the same thing as we do each year. Cheese and mushroom for me with a side salad and mayonnaise dressing and ham. Cheese and mushroom for my friend with a side salad with blue cheese dressing. We never waver. It has to be the same every year. What a gorgeous detail. Love it. Thank you for sharing. And Sherry at Chasing Celtic Light on Instagram says, our California Christmas tradition with our children was to bake Christmas cookies and deliver them to our neighbours who were homebound or living alone on Christmas Eve. A warm surprise delivered by little hands always brought a smile. A tradition that my children have all carried forward with their own children. We're spread around the globe now. I'm in Ireland and they're in Berlin, Barcelona and California. Well, I hope they're all baking up cookies wherever they are and delivering them to their neighbours and thinking of each other. Neza, who is at Biting on Carrot on Instagram, said, I only discovered a true magic of Christmas after meeting my now husband, who comes from Finland. There is so much I could write about, but I will share the one that's most special to our children. All family gather for Christmas dinner, and once everyone's bellies are full of magical Christmas food, we clean and gather in the living room. Soon, a knock on the doors. Children know what that means. It is Santa Claus coming for a visit with bags full of gifts. He comes inside, children sing to him and help him share the presents. He soon continues on his way to the other children while we open the gifts and watch our children's eyes glitter with happiness, magic and wonder. Wow. After, it's a time for a hot drink and sledging in the night on a nearby hill. Oh my goodness, how amazing is that? Going sledging on Christmas night. Wow. Enjoying the family, red cheeks and glittering snow. I think I want to go to Finland. And this is at Emily Dahl. Since having children and moving to the coast, we've created an unintentional tradition on Christmas week where the four of us will get our Father Christmas hats and reindeer antlers on and go to enjoy a big scoop of gelato ice cream on the seafront in the middle of winter. Love that. It's become a beautiful tradition which feels like a secret between the four of us, and my son always keeps his fingers crossed the little family-run Italian parlour will have his favourite pistachio ice cream on the menu that day. Well, that's gorgeous. At Joanna Tiod on Instagram says that she moved to Ottawa in Canada 20 years ago from Romania, and that although Romanian cuisine is full of goodies, cookies and gingerbread houses are not a staple. And she says over the years in her new country, she gradually integrated and started to bake local things, and that gingerbread houses, which she makes from scratch, are now part of her holiday traditions. At Sue Pritchard underscore writer on Instagram says, the little town where I live has organised a Santa sleigh for years. You buy a present and these wonderful volunteers travel around for hours on Christmas Eve delivering Christmas magic. It's beautiful when you have young children, but still makes me smile, even though mine are all grown up. Thank you so much, everyone, for sharing your lovely memories and modern traditions from around the world. More coming next week. So it's time for our craft project. Super simple this week. I have been busy with my children making paper feathers bunting. It was inspired by a project in Paper Christmas by Emily Dahl, a lovely book. And we are turning our paper feathers into bunting, but they would really easily make lovely gift tags too, perhaps with poems written on them or something like that. And to make them, you simply cut out feather shapes from thin white card. You can either draw them yourself or search for a feather template online and print it out. A and then use PVA glue to cover all or part of each feather, and then just sprinkle on some biodegradable eco glitter. We tried lots of different ways, from just doing the edges to the full feather to one side of it, but most of all we liked them super simple, white feathers and then a third or half covered in gold, so they looked like they'd been dipped in glitter. Such a lovely idea, maybe you want to try that. Oh, it's time for our recipes. I love this part of the podcast because I love food. And this week's recipe is courtesy of Mark Diacono, who lives down here in the southwest of England. And it appears in his gorgeous book, Spice, A Cook's Companion. Mark also writes a wonderful Substack with all sorts of recipes and gardening notes, so don't miss that. Mark says, pick a lily will always feel like Christmas to me, as for no obvious reason, the old man would only have it in the house over the festive season. This, I promise, is as good as pick a lily gets. It has harissa driving the fragrant, lively bottom end along. The ingredients to fill two 700ml or 1.5 pint jars are listed in the show notes, but I will also read them out here. And if you make two jars, that's perfect, one for you and one to give to someone else. So you'll need 1 kilo of washed vegetables cut into pieces no larger than 2 centimetres. Mark suggests equal amounts of sugar snaps, courgettes, cauliflower and carrots. You need 50 grams of fine salt, 600 ml of cider vinegar, 120 grams of granulated sugar, 80 grams of honey, 25 grams of corn flour, 4 teaspoons of ground turmeric, 4 teaspoons of English mustard powder, 3 teaspoons of celery seeds, 3 teaspoons of fenugreek seeds, 3 teaspoons of yellow mustard seeds, and 3 tablespoons of harissa. You can buy that ready-made, or Mark has a lovely recipe for it in the same book, which is called Spice. And to make it, you need to do this. So first of all, ensure the vegetables are relatively dry. Place them in a large bowl and sprinkle them with the salt. Then turn the vegetables over to distribute the salt thoroughly, and cover and leave somewhere cool for 24 hours. Rinse them with cold water and drain them well. Put 520 ml or a pint of the vinegar into a pan with the sugar and honey and bring it to the boil. While that's happening, stir the corn flour in a bowl to ensure it's lump-free, then add the spices and combine well. Add a little of the remaining vinegar to the bowl and stir into the spicy flour to create a paste. Gradually add the remaining vinegar to thin the paste a little. Once the pan of sweetened vinegar has reached the boil, reduce the heat a little and add the paste a bit at a time, stirring constantly. Boil for a few minutes to thicken the sauce, stirring occasionally. Turn off the heat and stir in the harissa. Place the vegetables in the sterilised jars and pour the spicy vinegar over. Seal immediately. Yum. Now, back by popular demand, my own homemade granola recipe. This makes a great present in a 1 litre kilner jar tied with a ribbon ahead of the new year for something delicious and also good for you. So the ingredients, this makes a small batch, but to be honest, I usually make 3 times this amount and keep it in an airtight container because Mr. K eats a lot. So 50 grams each of any nuts that you like, ideally about 4 different types. I like hazelnuts, blanched almonds, walnuts, Brazil nuts, macadamia nuts, although they're really expensive these days, cashews, pecans, pistachios, anything. The proportions don't matter too much, so if you have all of them, put them all in. 50 grams each of sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, and then any others that you like. Sometimes I add sesame seeds, sometimes I add flax seeds, whatever is to your taste. And then 50 grams each of dried fruit like sultanas or raisins. And sometimes I add goji berries, sometimes I add cranberries for make it a little bit festive. Dried apricots are really nice too. And then about 200 grams of giant oats. But to be honest, the oats is really up to you. The more oats that you put in, obviously the cheaper it is per portion. But then obviously the less nuts and everything there are, it becomes more like a, well, very oaty. And the less oats and the more nuts you have, the more luxurious it feels. So that's totally up to you. It's just a guide, but I do like to use giant oats. And then a teaspoon of ground ginger, a teaspoon of ground cinnamon. If you like, you can put some desiccated coconut in there, maybe a tablespoon of that. And then I'd say 5 tablespoons of maple syrup. But to be honest, the more ingredients I put in, the more maple syrup I put in. And also I might up the ginger and cinnamon a bit as well if I've put tons and tons of ingredients in. So as you can tell, it's not the most accurate recipe in the world, but basically bung it all in together I use giant saucepan, like a big old stock pot, to mix it all round. And then I just put it in baking trays and I bake it in a preheated oven at 200 degrees. And I tend to put it on for about 15 minutes, take it out, turn it all around, put it back in again, and keep going every 10 minutes or so. Keep taking it out until it's as brown as you want it to be. Mr. K likes it very close to dark brown. I know some people prefer much blonder kind of granola. So with the minimum amount of instructions, have a go and make something that you think is delicious. Okay, and then you can package it up however you want in some sterilised jars. Nice ribbon. What a lovely present. Talking about presents, here is something for you. Now, this week's giveaway is very special if you like lovely stationery and you like words. This is ahead of a podcast episode coming up in a couple of weeks, which is going to be all about wintry words. It's all about reading and writing, which I hope that you really love. So to get you all ready for that, and also to obviously to make notes about your ideas for Christmas this year, I'm giving away a lovely flat lay notebook from Ola Studio, along with a personalised signed copy of my book, The Way of the Fearless Writer, and a free place on my virtual writing retreat, Breathe, Write, Repeat, for you and a friend. So this prize is worth more than £700. It's about $850. And so each of you and a friend, if you win it, will get the gorgeous notebook, personalised signed copy of my book, The Way of the Fearless Writer, and a free place on my virtual writing retreat, which is called Breathe, Write, Repeat. It's a really wonderful opportunity for you to encourage one of your friends with their writing, as well as getting something lovely to you for you. So go over to Instagram at Beth Kempton as soon as you hear this and enter. And if you've missed the deadline, don't worry, there will be another lovely giveaway coming next week. But this week's one is a really good one. So if you've got a second, pop on over and enter for you and a friend. Okay. And talking about presents, it would be remiss of me not to mention in an episode about gifts that books do make wonderful presents. Each year, my husband, Mr. K, asks me what kind of book I'd like this year. He always buys me a book, like a novel or a book about a certain topic or something like that. And so I just give him a kind of general idea. And then he spends a lovely hour or so browsing our local bookshop, picking out the one that he thinks I would love the most. And almost without exception, even though I live my life surrounded by books, he seems to find one that I've never heard of, but which is perfect. And considering how much love and care goes into writing a book, I think that books are some of the most valuable gifts that you can get, really. For, you know, £10, £20, it's really incredible the value that you get in a book. So really lovely thing to give. And I like to pair a book with something, you know, like if I was giving a cookery book, I might pair it with an apron, or maybe some dried herbs that I grew myself. Or if I was giving a cookery book that I love and I've got my own copy of, I might bake something from it and put those two together. So all lots of ideas there. And another gift which has real meaning is some opportunity for somebody to learn something. So maybe a workshop or an online course related to something that you know they're really interested in. Or if you see that they've got a talent and you know that it could help them develop it. Of course, a really good thing about vouchers and online things is that you can buy them right up until, you know, Christmas Eve. And you don't have to worry about things getting stuck in the Christmas post. And this is partly why I always have my big winter sale at this time of year. I call it my gratitude sale because I really can't tell you how grateful I am to all of you in this community for being here, for sharing this crazy, wild journey of life and all that we're discovering along the way. And also by buying my books and taking my courses, which I hope are incredibly valuable for you, you also make it possible for me to do what I do, to do what I love. And I really appreciate that. And I know that money is often tight at this time of year. So we have a huge winter sale off all of my online courses right now at dowhatyouloveforlife.com, up to 50% off them all. This is the biggest sale of the year for sure. It includes my brand new live writing course, River of Words, my most intensive writing course ever, where I'm going to be sharing for the first time some of my writing mechanisms and process secrets that have taken me to 6 books in 6 years. It's going to be very, I just can't wait for it. It's going to be really intimate, and I'm going to really support you with your confidence and spilling the words that you have buried deep inside. That's 50% off River of Words. Also off my super popular hybrid personal development and writing course, Excavate Your Life. My raved about book proposal masterclass, which has helped a staggering number of people land agents and book deals with top traditional publishers. That is for nonfiction, including memoir. And my flagship personal development courses, including Do What You Love and How to Be Happy, Calm, Organized and Focused. So if you would love one of those this Christmas, you could either ask somebody for it. Everything is available with a gift voucher, or you could buy it for yourself, give yourself a gift. Or perhaps offer it to someone else to show that you've noticed what they need in their life, and it would make a really wonderful gift. So dowhatyouloveforlife.com, up to 50% off. I've curated some really gorgeous bundles of courses to help you take steps towards your dreams, whether that's writing or making a major life change, getting a book published. All of those things are catered for. So come and have a look and see what might be right for you. If you're not sure which is the right fit, you're very welcome to DM me on Instagram at Beth Kempton and tell me a bit about you and where you are in your life, and I will give you some pointers to what might be a really good fit at this moment in time. As I said, everything can be bought with a gift voucher, so you can send someone a hint and a wink, or print out the page and then leave it lying around in your house somewhere. Just saying, don't miss the winter sale. That's at dowhatyouloveforlife.com. Right, enough about that. Here are this week's get ahead tips. So if you want to make any gifts that are related to photographs, so you know how you can do print on demand for mugs and tea towels and key rings and photo books and all those kinds of things, it's really worth getting your order in soon, because I personally had an experience of things getting very, very delayed last Christmas. I know there was an awful lot of complications with the post office here in the UK and Royal Mail, and Christmas post is always slow and all of that. So now's a good time to start ordering any photo related gifts. If you want to make your own Christmas crackers, it's a good time to start saving toilet rolls and ordering your cracker snaps before they all sell out, which they often do. And of course, to start planning your gifts for this year with the help of this episode. While you're out and about this week, why not look for things to draw if you want to make your own tags and Christmas cards this year? Look for things that have a strong silhouette, and then you can make stamped gift tags. You can draw with ink and pen, or you can paint on them, anything you like. You know, a gorgeous silhouette of a seed head, for example, could be a really beautiful thing. You could use white or brown craft paper and ribbons, and use your silhouette for drawing on there, or for making or buying a simple stamp that reminds you of winter, and use that as an alternative to patterned paper. So that's not the kind of thing you want to do in a rush. So why not have a look while you're out and about this week and get inspired for some sketches of your own. Other thing you can do is to buy one sheet of really gorgeous patterned paper and then cut it into strips that are about, you know, 2 centimeters wide, and use that like a belly band around a present that is wrapped in very plain brown paper, for example, and then maybe, you know, tie it with a ribbon and pop in a bit of holly or whatever you want. And of course, fabric is brilliant for wrapping presents too. Lots of things to think about this week. Now, what's coming up? Thursday, November the 23rd is Thanksgiving, of course. Happy Thanksgiving to all our American friends. Such a lovely festival or time of year. just to take a moment and think about everything and everyone that we're grateful for. So I will be thinking of you, American chums. Also, Christmas markets. Here in the UK, lots of them have begun or will be opening in the next few days. Bath, Winchester, York, many of the big cities. Edinburgh opens on November the 24th. Also, all over Europe, dreamy looking ones include Vienna in Austria, Nuremberg and Munich in Germany, Copenhagen in Denmark. We went to that one once. It was absolutely amazing. Prague in the Czech Republic. I went to that one as well when a friend of ours got married in the middle of the snowy, cold, cold city of Prague. It was beautiful. Gdansk in Poland, Tallinn in Estonia. Lots and lots of lovely Christmas markets if you're looking for an excuse to go on a little trip somewhere in Europe. And then coming up, last posting date by International Economy from the UK to Eastern Europe is Friday the 24th of November. Well, it was the last time I checked, but always, of course, check, because these things do change if the postal service gets all caught up with too many parcels. Now, next week, episode 4 is Deck the Halls, making your home festive and cozy. It's a really gorgeous one, and I hope you love it. And I really hope to meet you back here. And of course, if you have any of your own festive decorating ideas, I'd love to hear about them on Instagram at Beth Kempton, where you can have a peek into my own perfectly imperfect Christmas preparations. Thank you so much. Stay warm, and I will see you soon. You have been listening to the Calm Christmas Podcast with me, Beth Kempton, produced by Untapped Talent. Don't forget to subscribe and please tell your friends. If you've enjoyed the show, you might just love my book, Calm Christmas and a Happy New Year, a little book of festive joy, which is out now from all good booksellers. And you can also come and find me on Substack at Beth Kempton, where I also write about midlife, fearless writing and my favourite ways to travel in Japan. Of course, I will also be writing some things about Christmas. Stay cozy, my friend, and I will see you next week.